This is HeartWise, a program offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life happier, healthier, and more fulfilling. Today, you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Today, we're going to be talking about hope-based healing with Chaplain Bob Engstrom. I'm Tim Cochus. Now, here's your HeartWise host, Charles Mills.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. I look forward to this program, listener, and talking with you and sharing with you some of the information that God has given through guests like our guest tonight. Now, of all the illnesses that plague our society, mental illness can be the cruelest. Yes. It robs us of the one thing we need most to survive in this world, the ability to reason. Those suffering from mental illness have the cards stacked against them from the very beginning, and many spend their lives lost in a downward spiral of despair and disgrace. Our friends at Florida Hospital in Orlando, Florida, are taking a proactive role on behalf of those afflicted, and leading the charge is our guest today. Bob Engstrom is a chaplain at Florida Hospital, and he recently wrote a monograph designed to help both caregivers and families to give that much-needed care to mental illness patients. He's here to discuss his work and teach us how we can bring what he calls new life out of devastation. Chaplain Bob, I'd like for you to share the insight you gathered recently during a visit to a devastated part of our country. What did you see and what did you learn?
Well, I joined my brother and his wife in visiting Mount St. Helens after a 1980 volcanic eruption, which really was a virtual firestorm, which leveled entire forests of trees like thousands of randomly scattered matchsticks. It seemed to also destroy every habitation of animal and plants. But I learned, while visiting one of two museums on site, that hardly more than a year after the lava had cooled, little green shoots of life began to emerge from the eroding volcanic pumice, which, of course, covered the landscape.
Yeah.
And people could see ferns and berries, a variety of radiantly colored wildflowers, which were soon in evidence, along with spiders and gophers and birds and the cautious return of deer and elk. It turns out that even the horrendous volcanic destruction could not extinguish the power of life. And that volcanic devastation is a very fitting metaphor, I believe, for the chaotic devastation which is caused by severe mental illness within a precious human being. And I believe it's our privilege as caregivers, as loved ones and friends, to nurture those sprigs of new life and hope within the recovery of our human brothers and sisters who are so afflicted.
You know, I would assume, Chaplain Bob, that one of the problems that we as caregivers have in trying to help those who are mentally afflicted is patience. We want them to be well now or tomorrow morning at the latest. Is patience part of what we need to be instilling in our minds?
Absolutely. You know, this is a condition that is so profound. It's sort of like when you break a bone, you have to put a cast on that bone, and it takes a long time before the bone has reconnected and is able to function again. And many times when someone undergoes an episode of, say, deep depression or hasn't taken their medication for a while and decompensates into a schizophrenic kind of condition, it takes time. With a depressed, severely depressed person, it can take weeks, sometimes months, and we need to be patient with that.
Let's give a little practical story here. You started out with a story of Margarita. This is someone that you have had conversations with and have been dealing with. Share with us her journey and where she is now.
Well, Margarita was a woman that came to our hospital with the delusion that God had performed a miracle. She said, "I'm going to have a baby. No one will believe me." Well, I very carefully chose my words. I knew that she was not pregnant because she had had a hysterectomy. And yet she was convinced. And she'd borne one child, and because of her illness, that only child had been removed from her care. And as we talked, it became very clear that she cherished family above all else. She, she just deeply longed to be caring for a child. And her need to believe that God was going to provide that for her were very clear. And I said, Margarita, I can only imagine how excited you must feel believing God has promised you a baby and how disappointed you feel when people won't believe you. Mm. Tell me why you're here. And she said, I'm here because people think I'm ill. And I very gently said, have you been given a diagnosis for your illness? And she said, schizophrenia. And I said, can you tell me what the symptoms of schizophrenia are? Because I wanted to hear it from her. And she said, it means that sometimes I have trouble distinguishing between reality and fantasy. And I said, Margarita, I'd like to talk with you in a few days when your medication has had a chance to work. Then we can talk more and revisit what we've just talked about. Can we do that? She said, sure, that's okay with me.
You know, one of the things I noticed right off the bat on this, Chaplain Bob, is that you did not bring her to task. You almost sounded like you are empathizing with her, that your heart was with her and the struggle she was going through, because to her, the struggle was very real. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely, and that's one of the mistakes we sometimes make. We argue with the delusion that our loved one or patient may have, and that only paints us as a bad guy and one of the enemy, and we don't want to do that.
So what happened next after the medications had kicked in? What happened next?
Well, it was very interesting. A few days later, Margarita requested a second visit, and it was obvious that she was feeling better, but she was perplexed. She said, I don't feel pregnant. And yet she was sure that, as she put it, God spoke to me and promised me a miracle. And you can tell that, you know, the medicine's starting to work.
Yeah.
She said, I do have a grown son, but he was taken from me when he was just 6 years old, and I got to meet him just recently. He's such a handsome young man, she said. You know, just great pride in her in her heart, and as she said those words. And so together we began to reflect about her grief over years of lost motherhood and explored how she just yearned for another chance to be a mother, and the very yearning that powered her delusion that God had promised her another pregnancy. That was the conclusion I began to draw. It seemed very clear. And so very carefully, I began to explore with her how she might know that God's truly speaking to her in this way. And she said, well, I know it's God, she said, because he tells me good things. The Bible, and she was quoting Psalm 16, verse 2. She knew her Bible. She said, apart from God, we have no good thing. Well, as her chaplain, I saw the need to begin nudging her away from using her faith as a delusional support so she might instead utilize her faith as a therapeutic support to be explored in a future visit. So I start my monograph with that story, and then near the and I highlight at that point, I finish the story near the end, but I highlight here that this is a tragedy that, you know, at Florida Hospital, one of our publications, it's another monograph, talks about the patient experience, in which our goal is to share the healing properties of trust, belonging, and hope. And for 38 years, Margarita had been deprived of that precious sense of belonging as a mother in relationship to her child.
Yeah.
Yet, despite that devastating loss, she learned to trust deeply in God and cling to hope, you know, despite its lack of fulfillment. And what's happening here is, I think there was a lost opportunity early when her disease broke. You know, most people with schizophrenia have their first psychotic break, and usually that happens when a person is reaching adulthood, early 20s, late teens, and there's evidence that adequate treatment of the first psychotic break can actually affect the course of the condition throughout the person's life. You know, psychosis is a treatable disorder of thought, and adequate treatment can actually help that person lead a productive life. So what I'm trying to say is that Margarita, whose treatment had been sporadic at best, could have had the opportunity of raising that child. And yet, because of the poor treatment she received and the lack of timely treatment, you know, she wasn't able to care for her child. And if she had received the kind of prompt, adequate, ongoing care afforded a child with cystic fibrosis or a child with heart disease,
yeah,
the outcome could have been very different.
You know, you look at these situations as diseases, as illnesses, I should say. You look at them as illnesses. Right. Why is it, in your experience, Chaplain Bob, what have you learned makes the difference between a Margarita who does this and someone else who has the same experience and doesn't go into this fantasy world, that simply accepts it and moves on? What makes the difference? Do you know?
Are you talking about other people who might have...
Other people, yeah. In other words, other person may have had a child, may have had some mental problems, but they get over. They don't have to go into the hospital. They don't have to have these talks with the chaplain. They somehow snap out of it. What makes the difference?
It would probably be a very mild mental illness for that to happen.
Okay.
And I'm thinking perhaps of a mild version of depression. But even with that, a person, actually, they don't snap out of it. It usually almost always requires some medication and also some talk therapy and support, often through a chaplain or their pastor. So generally speaking, if it's really mental illness, it's going to require some intervention.
Okay,
and,
all right.
Yes.
So we identify a mental illness then as something different from the occasional depression, from the occasional malaise that we get into. A mental illness is really that. It is an illness.
It's a clinical condition, just as real as heart disease or diabetes.
Okay, all right. So if it is an illness just as real, then there has to be some very real medicines. Now, when I say medicines, that could be therapies of some sort. That can be drugs. That can be whatever. You can't just think yourself out of this because there's something physically wrong with you. Am I on the right track here?
You're on the right track. That is very much the truth in terms of dealing with that kind of illness.
Okay, all right. Well, we have a break coming up here, and on the other side of that break, I want to spend some moments with you discovering what we can do, what you and I can do, what the pastor can do, what a school teacher can do, what a husband or wife or parent can do if there is a member of the family or the congregation who has a mental illness. Because as you bring out in your monograph, it hasn't always been pretty what we do to people who are fighting these diseases and who are fighting these illnesses. We have not, as a country, as a medical organization, we have not been as professional and as caring as we should be on these people. And I want to talk to you, Chaplain Bob, about some of the problems we've had and how we can be a part of the solution. Tim?
That's right. And if you have a question or you have some kind of topic that you'd like us to talk about, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org. You can also find a whole bunch of information there on a number of topics. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And now, a parable big change moment.
A little boy pulled out his crayons and a sheet of paper one afternoon, and resting his chin on his hand for a few moments, he began sketching. Noticing his intensity, his mother asked, "What are you drawing?" And without looking up, he replied, "A picture of God." His mother smiled. "But honey, no one knows what God looks like." "Well, they will when I finish." We smile at that story, but isn't it true that we long to see God and know Him? No one knows what He looks like. But through His life and words, the Nazarene sketched an illustration of His Father. He drew a picture so we would know who our Father in Heaven really is. We're like that little boy with his crayons. Through our words and deeds, we're sketching a picture for all to see. Our life should portray what God looks like.
A parable, big change moment from Johnny Erickson Tata's book, 31 Days Toward Intimacy with God. Parable.com.
Here's your daily heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
One of the neat things about the Bible is it gives you millions, well, tons of ways to change your body's chemistry. Did you know that the Bible is filled with wonderful ways that we can change our chemistry? Now, would you rather take a prescription medication or do something from the Bible to help you feel better? I would choose to follow the owner's manual. This is the way we can best get our chemistry the way God intended. If you jumped off a building, things would break. Likewise, if we don't follow the laws God's given us, our chemistry changes. We're not following the owner's manual. When this happens day in and day out, we become diseased and sick. So in Heartbeat, I want us to follow the biblical prescriptions to change our chemistry.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. And welcome back to Heartwise as we continue to talk about truth, love, and healing with Chaplain Bob Engstrom. And we're talking about hope-based healing. Charles?
That's right. Mental illness is a real issue in this world.
It is.
A lot of things are buried in this, and it's kind of complex. Now, have we as a country, have we as a medical profession been traditionally well prepared for this, Chaplain Bob?
We actually have had a very mixed record with that as a country. In the 19th century, there were some areas of the country where they were starting to provide humane care of the mentally ill. And other parts of the country where that was not the case. During World War II, some of the conscientious objectors were assigned to state hospitals and were just absolutely appalled at the kind of care that they saw being provided the mentally ill. And they even took pictures, and all of this got the attention of eventually Eleanor Roosevelt. And a real groundswell of reform began to occur at that point, up until the point that President John Kennedy in 1963 signed the Mental Health Care Act, which helped to open up the state hospitals and allow people to go back into the society. There were some of the medications that were also, I should say, synthesized or discovered at that time and enabled psychotic people to come out of their psychosis and become members of society. And since then, of course, we were supposed to provide these wonderful mental health centers in the community. Since then, year after year after year, there has been a reduction of funding in caring for the mentally ill. Care became more maintenance care rather than aggressive care aimed at recovery. And also, mental illness was not covered by medical insurance plans on the same level as physical illnesses are covered. Until 2008, the mental health parity legislation at least opened the way for that. And now we need to follow up and make sure that that gets implemented. Actually, it's been a history of neglect and there's just very much that we can do as a society to move forward and provide adequate care.
Well, Chaplain Bob, what is the Florida hospital approach? What are you doing that they weren't doing 50, 75 years ago?
Well, at Florida Hospital, we have provided a spiritual component to care of the mentally ill. And our medical staff, and as well as our nurses and social workers and techs, for the very most part, buy into spiritual support and make that part integral part of the care of the patient.
Is the spiritual aspect just absolutely necessary? I mean, can you have a godless, non-spiritual avenue of healing here, or is that just not possible?
Well, I would say that it would be much more difficult. It's just part of the it's just very much part of the treatment in terms of the using medications. That's one aspect of the care of the mentally ill, talk therapy, which actually medications work much better in conjunction with talk therapy. Talk therapy works better when medications are being used, but also spiritual care is sort of the third leg of the stool, so to speak, of care of the mentally ill.
I would imagine that... Well, it's been my experience in talking with individuals like yourself that God has implanted in us a need. And if we are not fulfilling that need, and that need is for Him, that need is for us being involved with Him. If that need is being fulfilled, there is really nothing that can take the place of that stool leg. Am I right?
That's my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
I believe it's very important to include a spiritual aspect.
Well, in the couple of minutes we have left on this segment of the program, where is Margarita now? What's happening with her?
Well, I don't have really a knowledge of her beyond the time when she left the hospital. But it is clear that as our conversation continued, she was beginning to look at another way of God caring for her. I explored with her that God might be able to help her in ways other than giving her another child. And being as she's a very religious person, I was able to point out that there is a new earth, there's a future in which we will be all made whole. And in that new earth, Jesus said that last will be first. And he also indicated, the Bible has also indicated that all illness and pain, including emotional pain, will be done away with. And I said to her, I just have a feeling that God's going to make it up to you, even if you cannot have a baby. And she was able to begin to even repeat the words herself. God's going to make it up to me. God has a different plan. And she was really more and more open to another way of looking at this.
Boy, I like that, Chaplain Bob. You have identified the great need, not only in those who are mentally ill, but who are trying to say that they're not. And that is, there is another way. The world doesn't have it. Science doesn't have it, but God has it. And it's that other way that is the secret to reaching these people with these illnesses. Chaplain Bob, that's wonderful news for us all. That's very hopeful. Wouldn't you say, Tim?
Yes, it is. That's what we truly call hope-based healing. Amen. Having that faith. And that's what we preach here at HeartWise. Truth, love, and healing is what it is. HeartWise is a production of HeartWise Ministries, and on behalf of Charles Mills and our guest, Chaplain Bob Angstrom, I'm Tim Cochis. If you'd like more information on the show or this topic, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Until next time, may God bless.